After all that we've heard today, I'm not actually sure that you need me standing up the front here, because I think most of what I was going to say has already been said in what Julie said, and in what Myra said. Name's gone. Getting too old for things like that as well. But today, we've just installed new elders. So we've really turned over a new page. And now the new elders are responsible for the governance of the church and for the spiritual leading of the church as well. So I wanted to have a look firstly at what it says about elders in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7. It says, here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So what does that say about elders in general? Firstly, I think it's that they need to lead by example. As it says in 1 Timothy there, be above reproach, speak the truth, be temperate, self-controlled, be gentle and patient, not quick-tempered, not argumentative, balanced in judgment, have a good reputation with outsiders. They need to be spiritually mature, as it says, not recent converts. They need to keep information confidential. They need to have good interpersonal skills. They need to be team players and to be able to resolve conflicts. As leaders, it's been said already, they need to have servant hearts, eager to see the church prevail in the world and demonstrate spiritual foresight and desire accountability in fulfilling their responsibilities and meeting the needs of those they serve. They must be able to speak the truth in love without destructive results. Wow. What a task. But having said that, that's the eldership as a whole. But the eldership is made up of individuals. And all of us have our strong points, all of us have our weak points. Must be very daunting for anyone. I know I prayed a lot about it before I became an elder. But that's what the eldership is to strive for. But we all make mistakes. And when we do, we need to be able to repent. We need to be able to forgive. And we need to be able to move forward. And that's what I see us doing as a church now. Having turned the page, we need to be able to move forward. So that's looking at the elders and their responsibility. But what about us as a church? What responsibilities do we have towards the elders too? And if we go back a chapter in 1 Timothy, to 1 Timothy 2, it says at the start of there, verse 1, I urge then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So the first thing we are called to do for our elders is to pray for them. Pray for godly wisdom. Pray for insights into the issues we face in the church. Pray for a vision for the future. Pray that they will lead us as God wants us to be led, that we may move forward in all that we do. And looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:12-15, it says, Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Here we're asked to hold our elders in high regard, to think the best of them at times. As Myra's put it, to be kind to one another, not to spread rumours or to gossip, but to support them in all that they do. And in Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." So there are just three quick things that I'd like to point out in that. We need to have confidence in our elders. We need to have confidence that they know what they're doing. We need to have confidence that they have the best interest of the church at heart. Secondly, there it says we need to submit to their authority. If we're willing to put them in place of leadership over us, then we need to support them, and we need to support the decisions that they make. And thirdly, what's the result of that confidence and submission that we place in the elders? As it says in the verse that I quoted from Hebrews 13, their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. If we're all working together, if we're all doing what God has asked us to do, if we're all being kind to one another, if we're all loving one another, then we will see the new Christians coming into the church, as Myra looks at these baby Christians who we can then encourage and move forward with. So, new elders have been installed, a new page has been turned. Let's have the confidence. Let's have the support. Let's be in submission to the new elders that have been put into place, and pray that the Lord will guide us as we move forward. And I think I'd just like to leave it there. So let's end in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the new elders that have been put in place this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless them in the journey that they have ahead. Lord, we just commit them into you, that your Holy Spirit will guide them, that you will help them in the decisions that they make, and that you will help us as a church to restore the relationships that are broken, and to be able to move on in a spirit of love and unity, one with another. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.